how one looked at it. It was easy to see that Swift respected that east wind and understood its potential for deceit. Tor continued, "Now those cortical columns could be the blades of grass on this field, Jimmy. Each column contains 110 neurons. There are 600 million such columns, and thus there are roughly 50 billion neurons in the cortex." He eyed his friend closely to gauge his interest and understanding for what lay ahead. For Tor North, something inevitably lay ahead of one of his science-charged homilies. "So what are you trying to say?" said Jimmy, who had other things on his mind, as his gaze caught and held steady on the flagpoles due west of him. "Left to right," he muttered to himself, and then he marched two steps to his left and one long step back. He and Tor agreed on one point. It was all in the details, what they did. Anyone who said otherwise was a fool. "Are you listening?" asked Tor, who then followed his friend's gaze to the poles and their accompanying flag erections. "The wind's fine. I calculate about 6 to 8 knots, roughly east to west. Not that significant, really, though. It is swirling, but then it always swirls because of the manufactured depression we're standing in, coupled with the natural lay of the land outside of this concrete and steel bowl. And he's got a strong leg, and you're very fast. You're aptly named. So, what do you think about my theory?" Jimmy glanced at Tor, and the expression of confusion could be said to be more weary than profound. Swift often looked puzzled when Tor was lecturing him. And at least to Jimmy, Tor North held forth on the most arcane, impossibly useless subjects at the most inappropriate times. Last week, during a particularly rugged drill, Tor had grilled him on Carl Jung's theories on individuation, synchronicity, and the existence of archetypes when weighed against modern string theory and neuron consciousness, with a dollop of quantum psychology thrown in for no extra charge. "As opposed to quantum physics," Tor had been quick to point out. "Never confuse the two," he had warned Jimmy, though they were obviously somewhat linked, what with each depending to an ever-exacting degree on the quantum perspective on life, death, planet Earth, and beyond to the farthest away galaxy, this dimension, that dimension, and just about everything in between, including sex, politics, sports, religion, all things Americans loved, despised, and feared. "If you do mix them up," Tor had warned, "you'll find yourself the butt of endless jokes by science geeks." And there was nothing more humiliating than being the butt of jokes by them. This was something Tor could well appreciate, since he happened to be one of their numbers. "I'll sure remember that," Jimmy had said doubtfully at the time. Now, he just looked blankly at Tor. Quantum theorizing obviously did not jazz Swift's motor to any appreciable degree. In his defense, he had many other things on his mind. The wind, for one. It was swirling, and swirling was not good. It also was gusting, and gusting was even worse than swirling as far as he was concerned. Tor let the blades of grass drop back down to the ground where they were caught in miniature cyclones of that stubborn and treacherous east wind. "It's obvious, isn't it?" said Tor. "Come on, think, Swift." Tor referred to him as Swift at such moments of divine ignorance on Jimmy's part, mostly out of good-natured joshing. If they hadn't been such close friends, Jimmy might have decked Tor. Yet the timing was no good. Right now he really needed the man, what with the grumpy wind and the darkening skies. It would be tricky, even for someone as skilled as he. The pulverizing of his friend might come later, though. That could have been Jimmy's unspoken thought as he glared at his companion, his concentration now completely broken by Tor's ill-timed pedagogical taunts. "Not to me," said Jimmy, and he licked his fingers just as he did every few seconds to improve the traction there. "Look, I need to clear my mind, okay? Not fill it up with stuff I'm never going to use.